Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to exclusive teachings, consultations, and resources. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. I'm Harmony Quaker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists and clients in unlocking the magic of psychotherapy. In season two, I'm joined by expert therapists who bring a wealth of insight into the conversation of transpersonal counseling. In this episode, I'm joined by liberation therapist Nicole Zenos. Nicole is an expert on the significant ways systems of oppression impact individual well-being. In our conversation, she sheds light on the nuances of cultural reflexivity. And in the teaching portion, she offers us an amazing mindfulness practice to cultivate self-compassion as we explore our implicit biases. I hope you enjoy this episode. The way that you really recognize the systemic nature of oppression and its impact on individual well-being, it really differs from traditional counseling because it's just been overlooked for so long. And I would love to hear some more about how you work.
The way I work continues to evolve, but I think what I initially noticed in myself as I came into counseling as someone that was a client first and was newer to counseling as I decided to be a counselor, being in this space and noticing a lack of recognition of the impact of the world, right? Or the field around us, however we want to talk about it in our terms. And it really brought me to social justice counseling and starting to understand how systems impacted our well-being and our health and wellness, things that I already, I think, lived, had already felt in my body, had a lived experience of, but not quite a clinical understanding of. So that really woke me up and kind of started to open my eyes to the realities of that in a different way. And so that was kind of how I came into this understanding that the systems do impact our mental health. It felt very validating, honestly, for me to really understand that that was true. My experience was true. And I felt like validating others in that was really powerful. Like it was needed in our field to let people know that not everything that's happening for them is just their fault or due to a lack of something within them. Right. And so that piece started to come out and be developed in the terms of like, oh, social justice, and I need to attend to what's happening around them, things we already kind of talk about in counseling, but not in such a direct way. We might talk about our clients, you know, oh yeah, their diet's not great, or they're not sleeping that well. And we might want to kind of soothe those symptoms or say, well, what do you need to do, right, within your own self-care to make those things happen? And social justice counseling, and then furthermore, liberation counseling, which we'll talk about, is starting to really be curious about, yeah, why aren't you sleeping well? What is it that's preventing you from nourishing your body, right? And sometimes there are things within us, but there's also all of those outside layers. And when counselors or therapists don't recognize that or don't have an awareness around that, they can really miss a lot. And that can be painful for everyone. So that was kind of the introduction for me. And as I continue to develop as a counselor with more practice, starting to incorporate liberation theory or therapy, and just this idea that social justice is one part, but it's not enough. It's still deeply embedded within our institution and all of those systems. And we can soothe the pain of being in those systems, but I'm starting to recognize that until we're free of them, there will be no liberation, whether that's freedom within our body, our minds, or just our lived experience. And that's a big thing to try to attend to. So lightly, that is, I think, a broad stroke of how it kind of comes into my practice right now.
When you we're talking about the therapist and the way that we can miss our client when we aren't taking into account the greater field that our clients exist within, or even ourselves and our own humanity. I just feel like that's so important for us to remember in order to be in right use of power and to really serve our clients. And as you've been sort of teaching and researching and exploring and developing in your own sense of self as a counselor. I'm just wondering if you've noticed any sort of big blind spots that therapists bring that we could really be looking at within ourselves.
I think we can always be looking in ourselves, right? So how can we conceptualize this as maybe a place of unknowing within us, a place we have not approached yet, just because inherently, again, I think we don't even recognize those bias, and just because we have been so conditioned. And that to me is the hardest part. It's not a particular space of not seeing, it's the unwillingness to go into it because it is so painful. Because looking at our bias requires so much of our own deconditioning and recognizing where we have been trained and how we need to show up as a human, let alone a therapist, let alone, all of these other identities we have. So, and it is scary, right? To start taking down everything you've ever known is not an easy task. And so working with bias is essentially that, and that is hard.
I love the way you describe it. And I actually got this image of like liberating ourselves from that conditioning in order to really do this work that you're offering as a liberation therapist.
Yeah. And that's
Yeah.
hard. Yeah.
And that's hard and painful. Thank you. Would you share more about what liberation counseling is?
I think for myself, just out of transparency, it's still like any theory or thing I start to learn more about in counseling, it is a practice, it's a process, right? Why we call counseling our practice, right? We call mindfulness a practice. Similarly, when I'm learning something, it's a practice of like integrating and recognizing what's here for me, what do I want to bring in, right? This like integration and chewing whatever it is that I'm being offered. So right now, the way that liberation counseling is really showing up for me in my practice is this idea that there is no right or wrong or black or white, because part of conditioning, right, and what and how our society works is creating binary, right? Really dividing us and saying, man, woman, anything in between is not okay, right? That's too uncomfortable for us. And so liberation theory, the thing that I'm starting to bring into my practice that feels really rich is as clients and humans want to label our experience and we want to say, I am bad, this is good. If I see it a lot in people that are trying to make a choice around transition, how do I know what's right? Is this the right choice? And so inviting in this space and gray of saying, what if it was just the choice you're making? How does that feel for us when we're not putting a marker or a label on every single thing we do or say or think? How might that then free us a little bit to actually be with what is? And that's not necessarily that easy. Again, we might have that, and but we've been conditioned to think in that way for a reason. So that's where the social justice piece and understanding that this is all part of it. And we have a choice. That's kind of how it shows up.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong. And even as you say that, it occurs to me that the greater field of psychotherapy like rests in pathology of a right way and a wrong way of being. And so this in and of itself is really radical to approach counseling in this way.
Yeah. And I think that comes for me. I think that's why social justice kind of needed to come first, not necessary, but it gave me an understanding of why this then matters, how to build on that. I think just going straight to liberation kind of theory or therapy is pretty big. It's a big thing. And I don't know if we can even touch into those things until we've started to attend to what do I believe and why? Where are these beliefs coming from?
I know that you also, work with clients who are coming out of or in situations of experiencing narcissistic abuse and psychological trauma. I'm wondering how that relates to this work of liberation.
Yeah. So currently, my research right now is on women of color that have experienced psychological abuse and then sought counseling for that and attended counseling. So I think, just like anything, and especially because of just my identity as a multi-ethnic intersectional person with lots of marginalized or minoritized identities, is any work we do, regardless of the person sitting across from us, they are part of the systems. It doesn't matter actually what they look like. It certainly may impact them more or less, depending on what they look like and all those identities. But I think, similar to the research or in counseling, anytime we're sitting across from someone, and especially is true for survivors of domestic violence, especially true of survivors of psychological abuse, because it's so nuanced and just not that easy to see, is that we, as the counselors, need to attend to also recognizing again coming back out to the field and not being so centered necessarily on just, oh, well, this person's saying this. We need to be curious around what's actually happening. And then I think understanding the impact of all the systems outside of that experience is necessary for healing. I think sometimes counselors want to think that's removed or for someone else, right? I don't do case management. I'm not a social worker. So I want to hand those things over because I'm here to do healing. And that's something I hear often. And I think there's a, you're missing the mark if you think healing is not involving working through systemic trauma. So then that is kind of how those things all combine for me, right? It's present in every part of all of the work I do and my own lived experience. For me, it is inherently in my counseling because it's become so integrated into my way of being and just how I'm try to move through the world. And I think it's definitely something that can be brought into different practices and different counselors in the way that feels right for them, right? It can be this big encompassing thing like it is for me, where it is part of just how I move and see things and how I do research and how I parent, et cetera. Where for some people it might be like, yeah, I don't know if that's really my biggest pull, but I know it matters to me. So how can I start to incorporate these things just within myself personally? Because I think even just that work is going to be great, is really supportive to all of us. And or, oh, I want to bring in my practice. What would that look like, right? Because I do have a pretty high level because this is work I've been attending to for a long time. And so I don't want people to feel like it's too much or this is like so daunting because it can feel like that. And there's some truth to that. And I think it's still worth starting and trying.
When a client is experiencing narcissistic abuse or is recovering and from the experience, there's often just so much confusion about who they are. And when the field around and society and systems also contribute to that confusion, and I'm imagining that there's a lot of unblending from the environment that is happening in the liberation of like the rediscovery of who your client is.
Yeah, exactly. Because exactly to your point, right? Psychological abuse is already trying to change your own. It's trying to tell you don't know who you are and I know you more, right? And our society does that as well, especially if we're marginalized, especially if we have these markers that then say, well, this is who you are. You're lazy or you're this or you're that. Or how then do you also, when you're trying to heal from a person you love and trust, kind of doing that. And then also, you're trying to heal from that, but potentially going into a counseling space where that's being perpetuated again, and how you're showing up. And, you know, in my research, there is a lot of conflation, and we're finding that, you know, clients are saying, like, I'm neurodivergent, or they're being marked as bipolar or having these other diagnoses because the counselor or the clinician is not curious about. They're actually not even seeing abuse at all because they're kind of reading it in lots of different ways. Some of them are, oh, this is a cultural thing, right? This is not for me to be, I don't get it. So, you know, and that's harmful because it's not culture. Actually, trauma and violence are not culture. They're coping mechanisms that came out of a lot of pain. And to not conflate that and then kind of like, let's be curious. And yeah, the unblending, because we're talking about unblending so many pieces, culture and trauma, and then religion because of colonization, imperialism. And so that I think is essentially that is why this work is such a big task. It's like a slow unblending with, I think you have to have deep compassion for yourself. If you cannot just be loving and know, like, none of this is your fault, this is kind of the mechanism that it was meant to be, that I think is so necessary to, and that maybe is not. It, that's the kind of the edge I see the most is like, can I just be compassionate to myself for holding these kind of things that I actually don't agree with? And that can feel really uncomfortable.
You said something a moment ago that really struck me in your research, like just hearing that other therapists were saying to these clients, what's culture? And I'm imagining that that therapist might have thought that they were being culturally reflexive when instead it was minimizing and actually missing the greater scope of their client.
Yeah, and I will say that potentially maybe they weren't saying that directly, but there was an kind of and the recognition in that the person I'm talking about, that person was from the same culture. So that is part of why you have to attend to where you are being conditioned. It's not necessarily that somehow having a client or a counselor of the same ethnic background, that's not enough because if that counselor has not done the work to attend to themselves, it continues to perpetuate outward. So I think that's the thing. There's this idea, well, oh, I'll find a counselor, or some counselors are like, well, I'm white and they're this, and I really want to highlight every single counseling experience is cross-cultural. Every single experience is a not knowing of the other person's experience. So that being said, right, I don't think any of us are really at an advantage or disadvantage if we choose to educate ourselves and understand what's happening for us.
Yeah, so important. Every single encounter that we have with another human being.
Yeah, just human, right? You don't have to be a client, just someone that we cannot truly understand what is it like to be them, unless we're curious.
I'm just feeling that in my body. And so when we talk about cultural reflexivity, what does that really mean? What is being a culturally reflexive counselor?
I did some research on this because I was curious, what is the true definition? And it depends on what you're kind of working within, but cultural reflexivity in our field specifically, I think, is the more current and more appropriate, I think, kind of version of multicultural orientation, where we might, I think older language or how we were trained is like, oh, I'm oriented to multicultural issues, or here's how I kind of see it, or I'm trying to pay attention, right? Having a multicultural orientation to me is still very othering, right? I am being oriented to how you are because I'm not that, and this is a you're outside of me and different, which is true. But there's something interesting about how that framework is and how it kind of conceptualizes being culturally reflexive, right? Like we're looking for the ways we can talk about culture. We're practicing our own humility around like, I don't know. And then we might find those other, like, how do I get more comfortable with other people's cultures? That's kind of how that framework is set up. Cultural reflexivity is really starting to, again, layer on that social justice, all those pieces of like, how does the context of the world as it is right now showing up in this space with this person, with me in counseling as a field, and then beyond? So that's kind of how I see it as I sit with someone. How am I attuning to and recognizing where both the culture is really present and important, and maybe something we should use as a resource or be seeing what is happening here? And the other part is like my own culture is there. I'm not cultureless because now I'm sitting here as a therapist. And so there might be some kind of thing there. So how do we pay attention and just that cultural reflexivity, both from within myself and understanding how does who I am impact how I'm showing up? And that's really when we're doing our bias work, that's what it is. It's not a judgment. It's just saying like, well, what is here? And is this harmful? Is this helpful? How is this showing up in me? Where did this come from? All that curiosity, I think, as we do that for ourselves, it inherently is easier to also do with clients, which is to me a huge part of the healing work. So it's a dual benefit as we kind of learn what is happening for us. But yeah, so cultural reflexivity is in those simplest ways, like how am I being reflexive in a way that's noticing what's happening here, checking in, going back out, and it's kind of this back and forth, which in research, it's an iterative process. I do something and there's a reaction here, and then, whoa, what's happening over here? And then I'm curious. And then that's that relational piece as well. When it's like fully it within yourself, I think it's just natural to be culturally reflexive. When we are fully in ourselves, I think it's just a natural way of being that we all would do anyways.
Yeah, I know that you teach in the transpersonal program. And to me, this sounds like such a mindfulness-based transpersonal approach of being culturally reflexive as opposed to having ideas about culture, like being in the present moment, being in the field, and attuning to what's here within ourselves, within the greater field, and within our clients that's beyond our personality as the clinician, like paying attention to something greater. And I'm just imagining that this creates space for something bigger and like more intelligent than thought-based reality to start guiding the session. I'm wondering, do you experience that too?
Yeah, it's interesting because as you're talking to me, it has a collective feel. There's a tone of this is also healing the collective. And maybe because of the people I tend to work with, or because I am a transpersonal therapist and I have extremely comfortable, and we do bring in ancestral work, we do bring in those things. And so there is something about honoring, acknowledging, and allowing space for that that feels really important. Yeah, and again, to your point, it's not about just saying, oh, well, the old school models of identity development are so like, this is how an Asian American develops, or whatever kind of interesting, again, very contained boundary. This is how you're supposed to be. Whether or not, there might have been some benefit to that, or there was an idea that this helps us understand. But again, it's so confining. And you're not letting that person in front of you be like, well, and what about multiracial folk like myself? Like this, we continue to be more and more of the population. So to try to say, well, how can you, when I'm 10 different things, why do I have to be within this? So yeah, there's so many parts to it. And I think the liberation piece just touches all the parts of our field and how can we start to bring that in. And yeah, I do know that because of my orientation, also Gestalt humanistic present moment, that's how I have conceptualized this. But I am, but I imagine and know that other liberation therapists maybe work in different ways. So I think that's the cool thing about it is we need it all. We need it all.
I guess the last question that I want to ask is this piece around the body and the inherent wisdom of the body and how that makes its way into the way that you work.
Body, for me, as just in my lived experience, was a hard place to come into. So I grew up in kind of like outside of the Bay Area of California in a pretty violent place where being soft or being in your body maybe wasn't safe or going to be helpful at all, right? What are you going to do with that? You need to be on, you need to be ready, you need to be paying attention. But we don't have a lot of time for that. So I think it's like the most powerful, amazing thing to witness someone that really has never felt that or been allowed to come into their body start to do that for the first time. It is something that I can recall in myself. And as I've built it, I'm just so grateful for the skill. But a lot of marginalized, disenfranchised people have not been in their body for good reason, right? There's a reason that we've left our body and we need to. And I think that to me is the very beginning of our healing. It allows us to have awareness. It lets us to feel like, yes, I have grief here. I have sadness. I have rage. They're all valid and they're all appropriate. They all can be here. And so that is, it's a skill of mine to be able to do that in a way that we're not rushed and we don't need to be fully embodied. We can just allow ourselves to feel for the first time maybe in our body. And what is that like? And most people cry. Because it's that unknown and it's that powerful and it's all of those things. So the body to me has to come in, and I am not going to force anything. And so it's kind of like, yes, the body, I'm inviting it. I believe it is necessary to be able to get to the level of healing that this can bring. And I'm not in a rush here. And so I think that's the thing that I've always want to encourage also my students because they think it's something that should be able to be done, even though for themselves, they know that's not also true. So just inviting that it's okay for that to take time and it's okay if people really don't know. That's fine. I'm happy they're here.
Yeah, and how wise that desensitization is, honoring the wisdom of that desensitization or that not knowing.
Exactly. And that to me, and that cultural reflexivity, again, of this bigger understanding rather than what I can hear some clinicians or people name as resistance, right? They don't want to, or this doesn't, they're not trying. And that to me is loss of cultural reflexivity, cultural humility of whatever that person's identities are. This was born out of some need, and to not respect that and be curious about that, is harmful. So labeling that and saying this is this because of this is again, you're missing a lot of parts that you shouldn't be. And so how are you going to hold that, because that's all just your own bias actually about what it means for someone to not be in their body, right? Just if you played with that bias, what would you notice in yourself if you were able to say, what does it feel like when I'm with somebody that can't touch into their body? What comes up in me, right? Because that's also our interactions with lots of people. So
Yeah, and if people listening want to reach out to find out your resources or to learn from you more, where can they find you?
my website, www.paintedonehealing.com. So painted one healing.
Join us in the Awaken Therapist online classroom, where my guest offers a master class in their area of expertise. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. The Awaken Therapist Level 1 certification is starting September 2025. In the 6-month training, you'll learn how to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Join us in exploring deeper dimensions in your work with clients with less burnout. To learn more, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com.